Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a pain-free Friday for us on a Minnesota Mahogany, waxing it up. 100, 200, the bad seed, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad under bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do bit. All my friends that come around, flat to party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs of town, what a mess, this town's tattered, my brain's splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out. Ooh. Are you with us tonight from New York? 855-212-4 CBS, our toll-free line, brought to you by Geico. Great news, you can save a bunch of money like Carver High did. He went on to Geico.com. He switched to Geico. And in 15 minutes, he saved 15% on his car insurance. He was very excited. All right, very big show for you tonight. Jamie Eisenberg will join us at 11. So start calling at the top of the hour when we break. And go into the second hour. So, like, you know, right before 11 o'clock, start calling and get on with Jamie to handle all of your fantasy, who to start, who to sit, who to deal, what to do, how to win your fantasy league this weekend in the NFL Pain Day. Are you ready? Jamie Eisenberg, top of the hour, 11:03 East. 11:40 East, David Grubb, Crescent City Sports. We'll talk about the Saints. Bears game at Soldier Field, and of course, Zion Williamson, expected to miss several weeks to start the season with a knee injury, but a severe injury has been ruled out. Well, it's got to be something wrong with him if he's going to miss several weeks. You know? They act like, oh, it's not severe, but he's not going to play for a month, right? Like, so which is it? It sounds like it's bad.
Especially when they had to shut him down right after the beginning of Summer League because he got hurt. Sit him down, let him rest. He's healed up, and then he comes back and gets hurt right away again.
So rough start for Zion Williamson with his knee. The Yankees just forced Game 6 with a 4-1 win in the Bronx. I'm very surprised that they won tonight, to be honest with you, because they have sucked so bad at these three games in New York. The two prior, they were terrible. They couldn't hit. And then you get a Hicks three-run bomb and LeMahieu hit one. So two home runs in the game, and that was it. It all happened in the first. 4-1 was the final. And now what? Tomorrow night, Carver High in Houston is game six?
Tomorrow night, game six, and it will be a battle of the bullpens. So anything could happen, I guess, tomorrow night, right? Now, you don't like what would face you on Sunday night, but who cares about that? Just win tomorrow night, and then who knows what happens on Sunday. You could have a first inning like you did tonight against Verlander, right?
You could have a first inning like Verlander. You could.
Now, I thought that they had an opportunity tonight when they got 30 pitches and four runs on Verlander in the first. I figured, you know, if you can win this game, they're going to run that bullpen tomorrow. If you can get this guy out of the game and start digging into those guys that they got to use tomorrow, that could really be a huge advantage for you. They did not do that. Verlander basically went rocking chair from the second through the seventh inning, threw like 70 pitches total in those innings. It was just flew right through
it.
So
everybody. He had one bad inning.
One bad inning the first, and then the Yankees did not touch him the rest of the way.
Well, that was the same thing as what Cole did to him. He got a lead, and it was over. 2-0,
right.
It was over.
But the main thing that the Yankees got tonight was not only did they get a big hit in the first inning, they got an A-plus performance from the Big Maple. Paxton giving you six innings. The run in the first inning, you could even say, wasn't even his fault. Gary Sanchez, who continues to have a, you know, he just couldn't stop balls behind the plate. So that got him a run in the first. Paxton was excellent. I thought Boone, you know, Boone likes the quick hook. I thought he was going to go get him, like, only, you know, right at the start of the sixth. He knows, too, what he's got heading for him tomorrow. Let him go the sixth inning also. Really strong.
Who's going to pitch tomorrow?
Same thing. They're going to run all their guys. A Green will probably start, you know, and but everybody's going to touch the ball tomorrow. You know, Green will start. They're going to probably need a couple innings out of Hap tomorrow. Ottavino's got to show up. He's been awful in this series.
He's been awful.
And then they got to get to these same guys, the Canelys, the Brittons, and the Chapmans, like they did tonight. Canely wasn't sharp tonight, that's for sure. But that's what tomorrow is. But the Astros have the same thing tomorrow. You know, they got to start. They got to basically throw guys in the first five or six innings that have not pitched a lot in this series.
So now that we know that they're playing in Houston tomorrow night, I want to see right here if the odds are out already for that game.
I'm sure
they are. It's Houston minus -140, and they're saying, yeah, they have no pitchers. They just have Yankees plus 130.
For either team, right? For both teams, they don't have pitchers listed. It's going to be a, you know, a mishmash of guys for both teams. It should be a very interesting game.
You can't be serious. You think they're going to actually force a seventh game?
Well, look, I thought that tonight was the hurdle, obviously. I didn't think that they would beat Verlander tonight.
I didn't either.
I just did not.
I lost that bet.
And they're not going to pitch Cole on 3 days rest tomorrow. They're going to save him for Sunday when he's at full strength in case they need him. So now, tomorrow, everybody's throwing everybody.
And
tomorrow.
Then otherwise, if he doesn't go, if they win, then he'll pitch game one of the World Series.
Right. They have that also in the back of their mind, I'm sure. But tomorrow is a true anything can happen. You don't have true starting pitchers pitching on either side. It could be a very interesting, crazy type of game.
8:08 East tomorrow in Houston, 7:08 their time.
But we destroyed the Yankees last night, and deservedly so with the way that they played last night. I will say, they came out tonight and they showed a little heart, and they give them a little credit tonight. They did come out and didn't lay down like I thought they would after the way they laid down last night. They got to Verlander early, pitched great. That's a nice job by them to get back on a plane to Houston tonight.
I still don't think they have a chance to win
it. I do not think they will win two games in a row in Houston. I do not. Could they win tomorrow night? Absolutely, they could win tomorrow night. I don't think that they could. If they got to Sunday, I just don't know. Because by then, you would have had to use all these guys. Tonight, you had to use Britton and Chapman. You're going to have to use them tomorrow if you win that game. By the time you get to Sunday, they've got a guy who's going to throw 120 pitches. You know it. And he's going to be great. And you're going to go with Severino for who knows how long. And then you're going to have all these guys gassed.
He can't get anybody out, Severino.
But you know what? If you get to Sunday, just get there. Worry about it when you get to Sunday.
I'll give you that. The Chiefs got good news, the best possible. Patrick Mahomes, an MRI confirms a dislocated kneecap, but no significant damage otherwise. He's expected to be back this season in what, three games he's going to miss? Should the Chiefs trade for another quarterback during Mahomes' absence? Should they make a move and get another quarterback, or just go with Matt Moore? They've already said they're going with Matt Moore. So, at the half, Ohio State a last-second field goal to go up 31-3 on Northwestern at Ryan Field in Chicago. That's happening. Hockey, Jackets, Hawks, Chicago after 2-1-1. Red Wings, Oilers in the second, scoreless. Ducks up 1-0 on the Canes at the Pond. Early in the first, Avs 5-4 over the Panthers in overtime. Nathan McKinnon. Penguins 4-2 over the Stars. Letang twice. Capitals 5-2 over the Rangers. Oshie twice. Carlson 3 assists. So, believe it or not, there's other college football tonight. I know that Syracuse was getting their ass beat by Pitt 27-13 with 5 minutes left. And as far as the other games are concerned, I told you about the Buckeyes lead over Northwestern 31-3. Marshall leads Florida Atlantic by 5 with about 40 seconds left in the game at FAU and Boca. They don't have the ball either. Marshall's going to win that game. Ohio State up. UNLV up 3-0 on Fresno with 11 minutes left in the first. So there you go. That's all shaking out tonight. And then there's some NBA action, preseason action. Rockets in the fourth, 4 minutes left. They're up 129-117 over the Heat. Pelicans lead the Knicks 194 at the Garden. Spurs at home 71-63 over the Grizzlies after three. Final, Wizards 112-93 over the Sixers. Raptors 123-107 over the Nets. Van Fleet had 16 points for Toronto. Kyrie 19 for the Nets in the loss. Lakers, Warriors again. They've played multiple times this week. That one starts at the bottom of the hour. So Jamie Eisenberg at the top of the hour at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. You got a call to get on with Jamie. And then at 11:40 East, David Grubb at Crescent City Sports. It's all happening tonight on a pain-free Friday on the bench.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So there were suggestions today by Mike Florio. Remember, he used to do the show a lot, Mafia. But he's saying that should the Chiefs trade for Marcus Mariota? Even though the Chiefs have said that Matt Moore is their guy. And, you know, this guy's talking about Mariota has the athleticism to operate the Kansas City offense. He can win in Kansas City. The Titans beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead in the last game of Alex Smith's tenure with the team. It says, you know, he's better than Matt Moore. So he was 9 of 18 for 60 yards, an average of 3 yards a pop. He had one great play to Tyreek Hill. That's what made the difference. And Reed also could make Mariota into the guy he was supposed to be when he was drafted in 2015, but has never become that guy. The Chiefs' plan is Matt Moore and Kyle Shermer. I don't even know who that is. Kyle Shermer. That Pat's kid. All I know is, do you think they should trade for Mariota or Eli or something like that?
I do not.
No, just stick with Matt Moore.
It's going to be a...
3 games.
Yeah, it's 3 games. You're 5-2. What were they right now? 4-2?
5-2.
They're 5-2 right now.
They're in first.
Yeah, I don't. They don't have anybody really pressing them right now. The Chargers are off to a bad start. The Broncos suck. The Raiders are 3-2, but you've already beat them. And I think that if you know it's going to be 3 or 4 weeks, I think you try to get by with Matt and just do it that way.
I think that's what they're going to try to do. Thomas in Louisville, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, man. Just want to get your take, man, on the game tomorrow. I know we got a big game with Clemson. I know we played a lot better this year, I think, than most people actually even thought. My personal belief, I would say, you know, if I was betting, I would bet against the spread, you know, 24, because I think, you know, it's a noon game, you know, with a lot of teams come out flat, you know, on the road. I know they're defending champs, but I think a lot of teams just come out flat on the road in noon games. And then the fact that, you know, we do play inspired football, you know, and run a good scheme on offense and defense both. So I think we're going to give him a little trouble, and I want to see if maybe you agreed with a take, you know, of maybe having Scott Satterfield as the midseason ACC Coach of the Year just because of how well, you know, they have played this year. So, you know, just would love to hear what you think.
Yeah, I don't know about handing out awards to the coach, but, look, they have covered a lot. They've covered 4 times, failed twice. Every game they won, obviously, they covered in. And, you know, they lost to Notre Dame 35-17. And then they beat Eastern Kentucky, beat Western Kentucky, lost to Florida State. That was a 11-point game. They beat BC. And then they went and won a huge game last week at Wake Forest. So that was impressive because Wake was undefeated, I think, going into that game. And Louisville put 62 on them. So they can obviously score. And it comes down to this. They have been performing in every single, you know, ACC game. So even in that Notre Dame game, they would have covered. They would, if you give them 24 in that game, they would have covered. They would have covered in every single game in the ACC. So you might be right. I mean, Clemson's going to beat them, I would think, you know, without a doubt. But then again, I thought they'd beat North Carolina. They beat them by one, and North Carolina went for the two to win the game and failed. So as far as I'm concerned, North Carolina had them right where they wanted them. That would have been, in my opinion, bigger than the South Carolina upset of Georgia if North Carolina would have beat Clemson. I think it would have been fantastic for college football. You know, now that Georgia's lost, I would love to see Clemson lose. I would love to see LSU beat Alabama. I want to see it all. I want to see upsets and then see how the committee deals with it accordingly, to be honest with you. But that number might be juicy for you. I could see taking the 24, you know, just based on the way they played in all the ACC games. Jimmy in Oklahoma. Oh, all right. 855-212-4227. So, I don't know. Who do you think? Do you think Louisville will give Clemson a game?
I don't. I think that Clemson will win comfortably. I think they'll cover.
So you think, like, just like, yeah, I
think that Clemson got their one, you know, ACC scare against a not great team already this year, North Carolina. I think they got their scare.
And so now they got their house in order. Mafia, Clemson or Louisville, that number, I laid it. But I now, you know, the more that I've seen these odds of what they've done in ACC games in terms of the spreads, that's problematic for me. They've been in every game.
They have been, and they've put up a lot of points the last couple weeks. But, I mean, to me, the big thing that we're going to look at to see what they're going to do more so is going to be that Notre Dame game, and that's the one game that they didn't really score. When they played a good defense, they didn't put up all those points. When playing Eastern
Kentucky, Western Kentucky. But they would have covered. They would have covered.
They would have covered, but Clemson's a better team than Notre Dame. They're going to let them score less, and they're going to put up more than Notre Dame did.
So Notre Dame put up 35. Clemson's going to put up, what, 50?
I think so, yeah.
All right, Jimmy in Oklahoma.
Somebody in the Yankee organization needs to fly Mariano Duncan down to Houston and talk to these Yankees and explain to them we win today. We play today, we win today, that's it. And sooner or later, Garrett Cole's got to come out flat. I mean, enough's enough with this guy. I mean, enough's enough.
All right, so wait a minute. All right, so I get the whole Mariano Duncan thing. And what was the other thing you said to me about what?
Garrett Cole sooner or later has to come out flat. One of the, I mean, enough's enough with this guy.
Listen,
I mean, how many games are you going to win in a row?
Well, listen, anyone. So I learned my lesson the hard way the other night. I bet against him. And I lost money. So you keep betting against him. See how that goes for you.
Jimmy, can they win
tomorrow?
The guy
hasn't lost a game since July.
Okay, but how about winning tomorrow first?
No, he's
already
got that.
About Cole on
he's
Sunday.
Already got that in the bag.
Win tomorrow first and then roll the dice on Sunday.
Stop
worrying about is Cole, you know, is Cole due to win or lose a game? You're not facing Cole tomorrow. You're facing the Astros bullpen. Go win tomorrow, and then you can spend 24 hours worrying about Cole.
Not only that, he's got to come out flat sometime. He did come out flat. And then still kicked their ass.
Right.
Tuesday was flat.
He had his worst outing, and he still won.
He walked a bunch of guys, and they couldn't take advantage.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Don't forget Jamie Eisenberg at the top of the hour. Call at the top of the hour to get on with Jamie about your fantasy leagues. 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. All my college picks are up and pros for football this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. All the plays are up. PharrellOnTheBench.com. You get it all. Hockey, boxing, MMA, basketball, NBA starts next week. PharrellOnTheBench.com rules every play, every day. Big changes coming in November. It'll make it even better for you, the site. PharrellOnTheBench.com. It's F-E-R-R-A-L-L. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Hide the money from your wife. I'm watching the UFC tonight. Where is this card taking place?
Boston.
Oh, in Boston. There you go. I'm watching Greg Hardy fight right now in the heavyweight division, Mafia. The former troubled Carolina Panther who became an MMA fighter after he was basically done in the NFL, right? He had problems in the NFL. Didn't they kick him out of the NFL?
They tried, and then it got struck down a couple games. He was like a whole season or something like that. They knocked down like six or something like that. The Cowboys signed him, played like half a season for them, but just wasn't the same at all. Wasn't nearly as good after all his drama in the courtroom. So they got rid of him, and no one signed him afterwards. Just wasn't worth it.
So what do you think of him as an MMA fighter?
He's been all right so far. I mean, they're putting him up against guys who are going to let him stand there and take his head off. I mean, he's had a couple 5-1 so far. His only loss was a disqualification for illegal knees. The guy was down, and he just blasted him back when they were fighting in Brooklyn. So, you know, they put these heavyweights in front of him that are just going to throw down, and he's been able to take the punishment and dish out his own enough to knock them out. We'll see if he ever makes it up to the upper ranks. You know, if he fights guys that can, you know, dodge his just looping overhands and then clock him, it's going to be a problem. They find guys that are going to take him down and, you know, put him on the mat on his back, it's going to be a problem.
He's pretty big.
He is, for sure. I mean, he was always a bigger guy, and after the NFL, it's just, you know, ballooned up even more. He's right at the weight limit. He's weighs in at 265 usually, so he's all the weight that you can be for an MMA fighter. It's
really?
Down, probably, yeah.
Why, what is that? They have a limit?
The heavyweight limit is 265, unless someone has super heavyweight, but I don't think anybody does.
Really? So if you're over 265, the UFC won't let you fight?
No. I mean, that's the weight limit set by the boxing commissions. Back in the day, some guys would, you know, like...
I thought heavyweights could be whatever they wanted.
Nope, it's 206 to 265. That's why even Brock Lesnar would have to drop like...
So 205 is the light heavy tap out.
Yeah, 206 if it's non-title.
Right. So, are there other good fights on this card tonight?
You have the Weidman versus Reyes fight coming up. There's also another decent fight after this one that I'm forgetting offhand, but it's all right.
There's actually even a really good fight, a title fight, a unification fight on ESPN right now. I think that fight, I can't even...
Oh, you also have the rematch of Rodriguez-Stevens after the eye poke in Mexico. They're rematching that one.
Oh, are they fighting tonight?
That's the next fight, yeah.
And then Stevens had to stop the fight because he got gouged in the eye, right?
Right. And Rodriguez didn't believe it and was saying he'd fly to his doctor's appointment to see if he's actually any damage, or, you know, he thought he was faking it to get out of it. And there was all that drama. That's where they, you know, were throwing things at the ring after the fight was called.
Didn't he show up at the press conference wearing eye goggles?
They had problems in the hotel. They're, you know, they had to be separated.
So they don't like each other.
No, they don't.
So it should be a good fight.
As long as people keep their hands out of their eyes.
Well, I don't think he tried to do it intentionally, do
you? No, that's the problem with the MMA gloves, is that when guys reach out, you know, your fingers are exposed, so it's easy to poke the guys. A lot of these guys put their hands out to block punches and it's ended up poking the guys in the eye.
Gary in California, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Gary.
Hey. Yes, sir.
You're on.
Thanks for addressing my call.
Yeah, man.
Hey, I just wanted to say something about Patrick Mahomes. Gosh, we're all going to miss him. Well, 90% of the fans are going to miss him for a few weeks because he's so exciting.
Right.
But what do you think that does for the Oakland Raiders?
Well, I think one of the advantages, a good question, one of the advantages that the Raiders have is that, believe it or not, is that the Packers are all kinds of banged up right now, right? They have receiver problems. Like, their whole receiving core is out. Every single guy is injured. So they're trying to figure out what they're going to do on Sunday against the Raiders. Who's Aaron Rodgers going to throw the ball to? Now, I'm sure they're going to figure it out, and somebody will be out there catching passes because Rodgers knows how to put the bread in the basket. But they're not the same team. You know, without all these guys, Adams and everybody, they're, you know what I mean? They got situations in their receiving department right now with injuries. So, it you know, at the very least, it opens up the door a little bit for the Raiders. The Raiders also have problems, right? I was telling you about last night, one of their receivers got plantar fascia, so they got their own issues. But remember, they went to Indy and won, and the Colts are certainly a lot better team than they are, you would think, right? On paper, the Colts are better, but the Raiders beat them. Do you think the Raiders have a shot, Carver High, at Lambeau Field against the shorthanded Packers?
I do. I think they do have a shot. I like them with the points, and I think that they do have a chance to win the game outright.
I mean, they have, you know, here's the deal. Davante Adams won't play. Geronimo Allison is doubtful. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, you know, is game time decision. They can only have one of their three starting receivers at best for this game. Scantling was asked about his, what's worse, his knee or his ankle. He said both. He said adrenaline got him through the game last week, and he's hoping treatment can get him on the field for this weekend. But Allison's got a concussion, Scantling the ankle knee, and Adams is out for the third straight week. If not, it'll be Allen, Lazard, Jake Kumaro, Darius Shepherd, and Ryan Grant. That'll be your receiving core. And look, I'm not going to deny that it's a concern for the Chiefs to not have him for 3 weeks. But at worst, I guess, if they lost all three, they'd still be 5-5, right? If they lost all three games. I don't even see that happening. They won the game against the Broncos with Moore. I don't see why they can't, let's say, win one or two of the games. If he's out three, win two of them, and it's, you know, you don't even feel the cut, the bleeding. You might see some blood, but you're not going to feel it. I think that they'll get over it, to be honest with you. But I don't like their, I'm not buying their defense because of last night, because I think the Broncos are pathetic, basically. So I am not buying that the Chiefs have a good defense. I have seen enough of that Chiefs defense to be unimpressed completely of who they can stop, which, you know, what I saw the Texans do to them, you know what I mean, was very impressive. So the Texans went to Arrowhead and beat them, so anything's possible. And I don't like their defense, so I'm not feeling the, you know, Chiefs as a Super Bowl team. I'm not feeling it, you know. And if this guy's out, let's say he's out longer than 3 weeks. Let's say he's out 5 weeks. Then it starts becoming a real problem. I mean, don't you think, Moff?
Yeah, that'll be a big problem. I mean, they got a tough next two games coming up with the Packers and Vikings. Both those are home, but we also saw that it doesn't matter if it's at home. They can still lose those games. Both those have, you know, teams that are running the ball pretty well, and that's been the problem with their defense is you just keep pounding the ball and their defense eventually breaks. So if those guys can do that and control the game, especially the Packers with the better defense, well, both those actually with really good defenses, they're going to give more problems because the key for not necessarily Packers, because Aaron Rodgers can come back in any game. He's never out of a game, especially when the flags help him out. But the Vikings, if you get them down, that's when they have a problem because then Kirk Cousins tries to throw the ball around and turns it over. If you let those teams hang around and be in a game and or even play ahead and they can just run the ball, that's when you're in trouble. So those might be tough for them. But the third game is the Titans, where it's going to be the big thing is if you come back after those three, then you get into the division again with Chargers, Raiders, and then some, you know, Patriots after that. So you can get by those three. If you go 1-2, it's not terrible, but you need him back after that.
And they also have Chad Henne in the background. Remember, he broke his ankle in the preseason, but they're saying that he's close. So it's not the most dire of situations I've ever seen. What do you think of Ohio State, the pasting they're putting on Northwestern at Ryan Field? Now it's 38-3 with 9 and change left in the third. I mean, you know, at this rate, they're going to score 60.
And that's what they've been pretty much doing to everybody. I mean, a couple of years ago, maybe you said, okay, Northwestern has such a great defense that, you know, maybe they'll slow them down a little bit and cover. They're just not the same team on the Fitzgerald right now. They've had some good games here and there, like Wisconsin. But the thing against Wisconsin is, you know what they're going to do. They're not a team that's going to open it up and start torching you downfield. They're going to keep pounding it with Taylor. So if you load the box, you know, you can stop them a little bit if you control the lanes and the gaps and things like that. Ohio State has so many dimensions on offense, you just don't know how to guard them.
Do you, you know, the bottom line is, do you think that this guy Pat Fitzgerald is starting to look like he's not doing a good job in Chicago? I mean, they love Fitzgerald right at Northwestern, but all they do is lose. Have you noticed? Like, he's not winning. They're 1-4 now. They're going to be 1-5. And I'm, you know, at some point, do people start saying, we've had enough of Pat Fitzgerald?
You know, that's one of those schools that you don't expect too much from. I think he had such a good run there for a couple of years that he has a little leeway for now. I mean, if it becomes 3, 4, 5 years in a row of just them being terrible, then they might finally push him out. But that's not a smart school. You're not one of these, you know, ones where you're demanding huge success from your football program. You
oh, here we go again. Nice. Here we go again. So you're telling me that because the kids are smart that they should lose?
No, it's because the school puts more focus on the academics than the football team is what I'm saying.
So they're going to let the coach lose no matter what. It just doesn't matter.
Not that
because,
they're going to let them lose.
As long as they get a good education.
I said if they suck for like 5 years straight, then they'll get rid of
them. Well, they have sucked for five years straight.
You know, if he bounces back and forth every couple of years, then they'll let it go.
No, but he has sucked. They have sucked. They have not been good, and this is continuing now for a couple of seasons now. And I just, you know, I think at some point, are you willing to say that? You're just going to let the guy keep losing?
He's been good.
He was 9-5 last year, 10-3 the year before.
He's won 10 games a couple times. I mean, I just.
So this year is just a wash, and they're not going to do anything to him.
He's actually been better the last 5 to 7 years than he was in his first 5 to 7 years. Look, it's hard. You're competing with Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Wisconsin, all these teams. And he, you know, there's other teams in that league that don't consistently win 8, 9, 10 games every year. You know, like Mavi said, for what they, you know, the academic part of it, I'd say that's pretty damn good. They're having a bad year this year. I'm not going to deny. They're having a bad year.
They're having a bad night tonight.
Yeah, they're getting whacked.
Who doesn't have a bad night against Ohio State so far this year?
Do you remember last night, weren't people calling up here telling me that Northwestern was going to cover the 28?
I thought they'd hang around. I really did.
I mean, they're getting destroyed, and there's still tons of time left in this game. Just so you know, the podcast of the show comes out after the show on Twitter at Scott Farrell, at On the Bench CBS, and on Facebook.com/Farrell on the Bench. And we put it out the next day as well. So tomorrow it'll be out at some point or another in the morning. So you can listen to the podcast of the show. It's like 2 hours, 10, 15 minutes, two and change. And no commercials. It's awesome. Check out the podcast on PharrellOnTheBench.com on Twitter and Facebook that we put out after the show every night and the next day. Also, you can listen to the show without preemption, without, you know, because sometimes you'll turn on the station, there'll be sports on, play-by-play on, a football game, basketball game, hockey game, whatever, Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, and there's no Pharrell. Well, then you just go to radio.com. They've got all 4 hours, no questions asked. Radio.com app is free. You'll love it. Just favorite CBS Sports Radio. Also, we're on Sirius XM app and the CBS Sports app. All those are free. Sirius XM, you got to pay, I think, to have the online service. And then ask Alexa, also curious, just say, play CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.